Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love. Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love!
Yo, I'm here with, and you know what? This is Toe! This is motherfucking Toe! It's Toe again. I know it feels like the time is just one infinite loop, and I only said that maybe 6 weeks ago, but we're here again, and this is Toe. This is Toe season 5, because this is Toe the other way, and I am here with two wonderful guests, two friends, mm-hmm. friends till the end. That was dark.
we have a suicide pact.
Who did I say that was for one of the show? And it kept getting darker and darker when they would decide to kill themselves with each other. I think I said that with, it was definitely Tiffany and Ronald, but which we have pointed. Y'all, this is DocuSweeties. This is Chris and Wah. Thank you for joining me today. Maddie's still recuperating from his time on the Swan, getting a new face.
Aww. We are pumped to be here. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And I just, I mean, I don't know if you're going to say it, but it is, you know, episode 1 of Toe.
You know, that would have been helpful.
Also, the name of the episode's disgusting.
Yeah.
I didn't write it down.
Okay, I'll tell you. Let you do it?
It's annoying. It's annoying. No, why? I feel like it's you. I feel like it's yours.
Okay. It is. What is this? Season 6?
Season 5.
Yeah. Season 5. This is 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, Season 5, Episode 1, Far Track, The Next Generation.
Far Trek?
Yeah, Far Trek. Yes. Far Trek. Like, far, you're going far, like, and you're trekking.
Not star.
What?
Mm-hmm. Take it in.
Okay. As a closet Trekkie, I am very disappointed in that. As someone who's seen every episode of TNG, I am very disappointed. Mm. Yeah, yeah. I sometimes give that away. Sometimes I'll talk about someone looking like a Romulan, mm-hmm. and Maddie will look at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that is my trick motion car out.
Yeah. You're when like, Dar- the Borg got them.
Oh, and the Borg like, got them. Yeah. Remember season 2 before the 90 days when Darcy had that high... hair, that high yes. hair, and I said, oh, she's serving Romulan realness, and no one knew what it was, or Maddie didn't know what it was, and I had to show him a Romulan. We're getting a weird area. or Klingon realness. I can't remember. Who gives a shit? No, this is Poe, season 5, episode 1. Far Trek, right? Mm-hmm. God, that's bad.
It sounds like you're saying fart track. It sounds like you're saying, like, it's someone's going to fart the whole time, and it's Wayne.
Like a laugh track.
Yeah.
Wayne will fart the whole time. It is the fart track. Oh, here. This is all I have for our sound effects. I forgot, and I deleted some of them. Maddie's going to kill me. He has to to upload them again. And then I had this one for when I was doing, we were doing Ty Ray.
This is better than what he did, though.
My dad was murdered in a park, and you didn't think my life could get sadder.
Yes.
But it has, Ty Ray, it has.
Yeah. His mom had a stroke, and his siblings just pretty much washed their hands of them. And then, like, you know, just, yeah.
He has a fear of abandonment because he's really never had anyone in his life. And that makes us feel better about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And underneath his couch is a lot of things. And that painting behind him is kind of weird.
The B9, this B90 season is, well, I said before when we started it with Amanda and Razvan that this is motherfucking dark with Daddy's Box. The children sleeping with the ashes of the recently deceased father. Yep. But
I told
Chris
that this was going to be a couple that I couldn't watch. Yeah.
Oh, it's hard. I will say it is. I've been calling it Before the 90 Days, produced by Lars von Trier. Like the whole, especially when you add in David and Sheila, and although they did have the banana donut storyline.
And it's funny because, like, they, like, bleep out every cuss word and every sign of, like, something inappropriate, which I'm like, why are you bleeping it out? Is it because this is going, like, super international and, like, it's getting to every country, so you have to bleep out every...
It's that and the fact that they talk about everything else explicitly sexual, but they bleep out certain things. We're only prudish about some things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the David and Sheila thing was hard because his hygiene isn't up to snuff. You know, snuff. It's a big, I wish I hadn't said that too, because it's snuff.
Up to snuff.
I don't want to sniff it.
Y'all, he didn't take a shower after that flight and laid on that bed and they banged. I don't know also if anybody saw this. He raised up his arm at one point. And there was this, what I could only call a street gang of skin tags.
Okay.
Or some kind of cluster of skin tags, like they were planning a revolt.
Yeah, it was like a mushroom garden that was like, I don't know, it's fungus, honey, but like it's a patch. It was
a strawberry patch of skin tags. And I immediately felt sick.
I screamed.
And we said it for like 1 second. It was like Mole City. It was just like skin, a moment in skin time. You know what I'm saying? It was just like a situation that occurred.
Melanoma Park.
Yes.
But yes,
he needs a derm checkup yesterday.
You can freeze them all off in one setting. You know, like honey, I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe so much. But it is that one is interesting. And also, how do you feel about Riley and Violet? And their sense of, well, I know we have to. I love you. I love the fact that we're actually talking about Tao, but we're like, oh, Tao. Sorry, Toe. But we're like, let's totally talk about Before the 90 Day too.
I'm fine because this is the universe, and y'all are friends, so we're here. I want her to completely take him down to every single peg he can. I think he's your garden variety dick,
and he expects everyone to love his feelings and hold his feelings above all others. And what she's been saying about this is how Vietnamese women are, I actually, we've been sent a lot of DMs by our listeners, and it's like, yep, she's right. That's my mother. And I asked my friend who has a Vietnamese mom and a Vietnamese, you know, and a white American father, and I went, is this, so she's saying Vietnamese women or Vietnamese people, that's their sense of humor. She's like, well, it's definitely my mother's and all of my aunts, because they all treat their husbands like shit. Yeah. But it's the honesty. I think my opinion about Riley is, I think he expects everyone to, because he's had a hard time, he's the only one who's had a hard time at love. Mm-hmm. Because he's had a hard time, we have to treat his feelings like they're incredibly fragile. Mm-hmm. And she might be a little rough at that, but I don't know. I don't really have a lot of sympathy in that storyline. I think I lost it when he's like, yeah, I just stumbled upon a Vietnamese women-only chat dating site. And it just feels like garden variety sex tourism to me. So what am I supposed to do?
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. He has been hurt. So now he's going to a foreign country to find he didn't say demure, but that's what American women, I mean, you know, he met that guy and that guy on the airplane, and they were he was on his way to Thailand. Tom,
in the sex tourist lounge. Yeah. Yes. Of the Philadelphia airport. Yeah. That was the sex tourism lounge. They have one there.
Oh my God, he's going to Thailand. I'm going to Vietnam. And I'm like, yeah, you guys are from the same cloth.
Yeah, that guy, I'm really glad we didn't follow that guy. Remember, my friend Frank.
Remember when Riley got indignant about his love of Elton John, episode yes! one? Okay, just
what? It's Elton John. He's great.
Yeah.
I still have a problem with his thing is he smokes cigars during the day at the computer. I have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes.
I still think he took it up for the show.
Oh, It's way too, you're not a rough around the edges guy that drinks orange liqueur and smokes cigars and listens to sad jazz. You are a big wimp that cries about his feelings all day long. That's who you are. You listen to Taylor Swift. I don't have to tell you. You do. It's okay. But come on.
It's not like Charlie Parker heroin music you're listening to. It's like Chris Botti playing the trumpet. No offense to Chris Botti or Kenny G. I don't know.
He's a poser.
He's a poser.
Riley is a poser.
I agree. Y'all, let's move on to Toe because I need to talk about Brandan.
I hate it. I hate that there's no E in that word at all.
Or even an O or anything.
Brandon.
It could be an N. It could be an O. But making it an A is particularly offensive. Brandan is going to be it for me. Brandan and Mary, Brandan from Eugene, Oregon, hot place of white supremacy, I've heard. and Mary, 23, from the Philippines. So I shouldn't say that about Eugene, but I feel like all of Oregon is just like Nazis besides Portland and maybe Bend or something like that. Again, this is what gets me into trouble when I say things like I'm not a Nazi, and their picture is a MAGA flag.
You're not wrong. Even Ashland, Oregon, that was theater town and Oregon Shakespeare Festival, pretty much ran out an AD of color.
Oh, so that's true. That is very true.
Yeah. So yep.
Yeah, and the Oregon Shakespeare Festival has been going on for forever, and who knows how much longer it's going to be. Anyway.
We're not journalists, okay? You don't come to us for the facts.
Thank you, Wah. Don't come at me. I'm here to provide dick jokes and really inappropriate Star Trek references. Brandon's basically, I wrote down, kind of a cover model for Incel magazine.
No.
I'm trying to be nice. That's kind of mean. But to be nicer, he's had a really hard time. I did also say that he looked like fabulous drag queen Tammy Brown out of drag.
What, you mean he doesn't look like Harry Potter slash and Justin Bieber?
Yeah. No, because those eyebrows are wild. His eyebrows need a good threading.
Woo! Yeah, absolutely, honey. This the whole scene, the whole season and scene opens horribly. Let me tell you. He's sitting on the throne.
Pooping.
And the throne that Camilla Parker Bowles should be sitting on, honey, not one of respect. He's sitting on it and he has the, like, you know, gorilla style armed where he has to take it everywhere because what is he, like a GoPro with his like FaceTime on horizontally because she needs to watch every moment and she's like, it stinks. He's like, I haven't pooped yet. And then here has the Chiron. Oh, it's like their storyline. I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe it. And yeah, their big thing is that they spend 24 hours a day on the FaceTime, but will then realize that sometimes that's not exactly the case. But first of all, what's the longest that you've been on talking with someone ever? Like, of like, I 2 hours. What if Wall was like 2 days? I'm just kidding.
2 hours. Wall was like, what's wrong with 2 days? I just forget to shower.
No. 2 hours.
Nowadays I won't do it anymore. But I remember in my like 20s, and if I was talking to someone for a really long time, if we hadn't caught up for so long, or they were telling me about like their marriage dissolving or something like that. Maybe I've had some of those calls. Yeah. But I had to. I think that they mentioned later, sometimes we fight a lot. That's because you never spend a second apart. Maybe yep. If you'd put down the goddamn phone and poop by yourself, you'd know what that was. This idea about being on the phone all the time, they're both 23. Is it just something that it seems like they're adding to their collective trauma because they've both been cheated on? So if they're watching each other all the time, they can't fuck anybody else. Is that it? It's strange.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's all of the like buzzwords that we like hear about on Instagram. Like they feel like they're in a trauma bond together, you know, where they're actively feeding each other's like disordered thinking, you know, and therefore there's no need to get better or to do the hard work of, you know, not being completely codependent on someone, you know. And here's the thing. I think that youth is a battlefield for codependency. You know, it happens in so many different ways or whatever, but how strong theirs is, especially when you think about how both of them will admit to the fact that it's detrimental to their lives. Like she's like, tee hee hee, even though I'm the one that like, you know, told him I want to do it, sometimes I turn off my router and pretend that it's broken because of rolling blackout and I go hang out with my friends, you know, and he's like, even though she wants it really bad, it's awkward and it's toxic and I know that my family hates it, but they won't stop. And like, they're jealous of each other over dumb things. It almost feels like they're in that like cosplay of a relationship where jealousy and like being upset garners more attention. And therefore the bond of like the codependent bond feels stronger in that moment and more powerful.
You just read them for fucking filth. And I'm here for it.
Yeah, for me, I'm just like, he lost me when he said that $2,000 was a lot of money. And it takes like it is a lot of money, right?
But it is
like,
it's expensive plane ticket.
It took you 2 years to get it. Like,
I also have a suggestion there. Maybe if you weren't paying an $800 phone bill for your data every single for your fucking video calls, you could have saved that a little fucking quicker, Joe Schmo.
Yeah.
I mean, Tammy Brown, do the work.
If they haven't...
Game us up, Teletubbies.
He would have made that money if he had just worked in a supermarket. Or
thank you.
Somewhere just super, like, whatever, you know, whatever. You just go and you get a job at Walmart. You go, you fill out this application online. You get the job. He would have made $2,000 in 6 months.
I I agree. I want to know what site he's booking these tickets on. Is he trying? Does he need that business class Delta Lounge upgrade?
Yes, we
all do. Because I feel like you could get a Priceline ticket to Manila. I'm just spitballing here. Maybe I'm uproariously out of touch. I think you could get that for $1,000.
Mm-hmm, I do too.
I maybe y'all can do the research because I'm not going to. But I think $2,000 is like a. I think he's thinking when it used to be, like in the 80s, when there was like a chef there preparing your meal on an airplane and everything was really nice.
He wasn't born in the 80s. He wasn't born in the 80s.
You know what? That is... He doesn't. He was born in 1998. So,
yeah. That's no, he was born in 2000.
2000. Yeah,
he was born in 2000. That is a bebe, okay? That bebe, that's a bebe.
C'est un bebe.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. His backstory, horrible. Both are backstories horrible, right? Like his parents break up, then he lives with his mom and then two half siblings, honey. I don't know where their father is. I don't know how they came to be, honey. But then in the middle of his youth, he's just like 12.
It's a love after lockup story, basically.
It is.
The mom later on looks like a love after lockup extra. I was like, what show are you on, baby?
She's Amber's friend. She's Amber and Puppy's friend. Okay.
You are absolutely right.
Okay. It's Queen, it's Amber, it's Puppy, and it's that redhead. Okay.
And it's that redhead who kind of looks like slutty young Winona Judd.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who lives at a halfway house? That's why she has all the women there. So let's just we can talk about that.
Exactly. And y'all, I'm glad mom's sober. I'm glad mom's doing better. And I'm glad this kid is found his way. So obviously there's a lot of trauma there. He is living in, I need to just lay out a couple of things because I wrote down there are so many offensive things in this segment so far. It's hard for me. I wrote down he's living in an RV in someone's driveway, and then he needs to go talk to his godparents at their above-ground pool.
It's his godfather's day off, honey, so he's not getting out of that pool. And it's also very hard to do so. So that is his godparents' driveway. Yeah, they were like, hey, just come park your thing and then come every day and tell us what you can
do for us. Have you seen merpeople? It's hard to get out of a tank. Very difficult. You have to use your whole arm weight.
I have not. Okay. What the? Oh,
merpeople is delicious.
Oh, good. I'll watch it.
Why have you even heard of more people?
I have. It's on Netflix. I wanted to watch it, but Witcher was more important.
More people will change your life. I'm giving you both that assignment. It's wonderful.
I know you guys talk about it. How many episodes are we in?
Like, there's only three, and that's it.
Is it a docuseries?
It's a docuseries?
Girl,
yes. Can two sweeties do it? Two docu-sweeties do it?
Y'all, I can see y'all, like, leaving your jobs to become mermaids. Maddie wanted to get a tail. Let me just tell you. It is a beautiful story about love, dreams, second chances, and gay men who want to wear tails.
At first I thought you said love, drinks, and I was like,
that too. That too. Anyway, just about this, there is something that feels very love after lockup in this storyline, just because we keep being drawn deeper and we know there's like four traumas around the corner. we're kind of like, looking outside over the corners, like, what else is next?
What's next is Mary and her gay besties. Can we talk about them?
Okay. Thank you. When he said, I'm really worried about her hanging out with her friends who are guys, I'm like, girl, there ain't no guys there. Especially the one with the blonde hair.
Yes.
The one
that's
like, oh my God, how big is his dick? You know, you're just like, I mean, you know, like that was great. Wait, so we're not going to talk about the blonde striped dental hygienist, right?
Oh, we're going to get back to that.
Okay, but, sorry.
Well, the blonde hair was basically just waving, slinging his purse everywhere. I mean, y'all, Brandan don't have to worry about a thing. Yeah, she's Vogan. She's clack, 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 clack. Yeah. Don't give her a fan because you're going to be in for a session.
No, okay.
Anyway, yeah. And the friends are basically like saying, we're worried that he doesn't let you be yourself and you have to turn off your router. And remember when you were like, you were a best student and you were like, you like helped other kids and you read the Bible and like the kids were blind and you were like a mayor of a town or something like that.
Yes.
And it is kind of weird that he said, I don't want you in college anymore. And I'm like, is there more to this? Because I can't imagine this incel saying, hey, I want you to drop out of college. Maybe he did. But it feels weird. I think there's a lot more to her story. Especially when she was riding the caribou into town, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, there is. First of all, it was so interesting because he early on was like, I'll tell you the reasons why I love her. She's, you know, top of her class. She's a great dancer, honey. She's like, Bible, Bible, Bible. And then she turns around, tells her friends that she's no longer doing any of those things because he doesn't want her to. So that's weird. And then... Right. The second thing is, besides one of this, her trauma also is crazy because her trauma is she has a whole ass brother and her parents, both her parents had them. And they were just like, you know what? We don't want you. Both of you gone. We're going to drop you off at our parents. And that's all she says. Like she says that her the grandparents raised them. Her parents abandoned them. But like no other information. So like, are the parents together? Are her parents just living the single life, honey? Like by single, I mean like married but no kids life. Just like in all of their disposable income in some like hot penthouse somewhere.
It does feel all pretty soft pedaled. It does feel like we're not getting all the info. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're living some type of bougie life apart from, I have a feeling they're probably not doing that well either. Our producer Christina is from the Philippines and she's like, first of all, bitch was riding a water buffalo and she's like, only provincial people say caribou.
Okay.
But she also said at least it's kind of nice where she is, but it's remote AF.
In comparison to where Violet is, like, you know, it's like it was interesting to have both of these Philippine, like B footage back to forth, hers and Violet.
She said that she's a lot. She's,
not Violet. I'm sorry. Sheila. Sorry.
Sheila. She said that Christina says that that Mary is south of where Sheila is. But yeah, Philippines, y'all, a hotbed of K-1 visa activity, always has been. And I always talk about the concept of, you know, we have the Hazel principle, the Tariq and Hazel principle of there. It's not a Venn diagram of do I love him or I love him and I want to come to the U.S. It's a perfect circle. It is, I love him and or, yes, but I want to come to the U.S. And it doesn't, and culturally it doesn't matter. So that's why we have so much of that. It's not a big deal culturally to say, sometimes my wants are the same, you know, to get out and to love someone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Especially, I mean, I can only speak from my experience Central American, you know, wise. But that's definitely the goal is like to, you know, to get to the U.S. for a better life for those back home.
Yeah.
And or maybe not even those back home, for yourself and the rest of your people going forward. So
exactly.
Yeah. I don't fault them. So my whole angle when I talk about these kinds of shows, 90 Day Fiancé specifically, is because my parents are not a 90 Day Fiancé. But my dad is from Belize and he moved to the U.S. and had a hard time with my mother's family and them thinking that he just wanted her for the green card.
Right.
And they have been married for, you know, since 1976. Who knows how long it is, but it's more than 40.
Does your mother ever throw out or yeah? Right. Did you just marry me for a green card?
No, because he didn't get his green card when he married my mother.
Oh, well, that changes everything.
So, you know, I get the foreigner perspective to a certain extent. Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens!
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the next thing, we have him sending her sweaty BO shirts.
Okay.
Again, lots of offensive things in. Now, then she said, and I send him things too. I was like,
panties.
It's panties. It's totally panties that he sleeps in. It's totally panties. And he didn't say anything about it. And he probably sniffs them.
Yeah. It could also be shoes. Panties and shoes.
Mmm.
Oh, athletic shoes? Whole thing.
He has a thing. Yeah.
He likes a sniff, you know? Yeah, I'll be honest. That part, of all the parts that I found offensive, I didn't feel that part. I feel like that part wasn't as bad. Like, if you're in a long distance relationship, I think it's kind of cute to do that because you can smell people.
Just sending them out and just to smell. I think it's what he said about BO. I think that was he's like, it was a bunch of BO shirts. Like, he's like, yeah, sometimes I'd get all sweaty. And I was like, oh. Anyway, I also need to point out, you can tell he might be in, let's say, I'm not saying everyone has to have a MacBook Pro or even a Dell. Or, I don't know, a compact. His laptop is an Acer. And I only know that because it's a frequent crossword clue. And I always go, who the fuck has an Acer? Mm-hmm. And it is a very inexpensive laptop model.
Yeah, that
he probably got from a friend. I don't know. I say this, bless him. And I'm going to get in trouble because he'll probably do something really awful. Later in the show.
Yeah, I think, you know, both these people are sitting in trauma, so it's never going to be a good recipe, you know? Like, it isn't like he's working on himself. He's doing the opposite.
It's definitely two sparrows in a hurricane, as we sang about Stephen and Olga. Like two sparrows in a hurricane. Oh, yes. Lori Morgan. If Matt were here, he'd be screaming, you don't know that song!
I don't know that song. I literally was like, that's a beautiful sentiment. What is two sparrows and a... I mean, yeah, it's a song from Lori.
Basically, it's a song about two young kids. It's like something about, like, he holds the keys to her heart. And it's basically, who knows if they'll make it? But love says they'll never... Or world says they'll never make it. Love says they will. It's basically two kids... who don't have anything, and they just love each other. They're two sparrows because, like, they're being thrown against each other in a hurricane. I don't know. Both of us knew that song, and it seems like it is like singing happy birthday to Matt. Like, it's just so normal. but I knew it, and he sang, they're two sparrows. When you do a show with Matt, you have to know all late 80s, well, mostly all 80s country references and most of the 90s country references. And if you don't get them, he just keeps on talking about them until you do.
I'm happy you've done your due diligence because on our podcast, you have to know like pop, R&B and 90s and aughts hip hop and music. Like that's all that we do and sing. But neither Wah nor I are big country heads, you know? So
I wasn't either. I did not grow up listening to it.
Yeah.
The only country that I do know is a lot of 90s country because where I worked sometimes we would hear a lot of 90s country. Yeah.
Me too. Cinderella said to Snow White,
yes!
Doesn't love get so off course?
Yes.
So all I wanted was a white knight. Yeah.
Fast horse.
With a good heart. Fast horse.
Where you love me. Yeah.
It's a feeling right. Like this.
Like that, you're right. That all happened like.
Crossover country.
Mm-hmm. I love crossover. That one Garth Brooks song. Honey, I can sing Thunder Rolls any time of the week.
Thunder Rolls. Go ahead.
Three strikes.
I don't know.
But like 3 a.m. in the morning, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And coming in. Yeah.
That was about spousal abuse.
I know.
Oh. Yes.
I know.
Lightning strikes and the storm goes on. Deep in her heart and the thunder rolls. It's so dramatic.
I love it.
I'm going to get it right now.
Yeah.
anyway, y'all, basically, these are two people. He is going to the dentist, and the hygienist is there, and he has to put the thing up there. It's like Jasmine's receipts, and like she needs to know. And they're like talking. She's like, "Is it okay if I put a phone up there? My phone up there?" And she's like, "Oh, sure!" Like it's just a normal thing. And I would be worried that like someone's putting on like, a nanny cam or something like that. And they were going to do like a what would you do from ABC.
Yeah. She's like, oh, sure. No, it's weird. It's weird. To the cameras. Yeah, it's weird. But you're fine, honey. It's fucking weird. Yeah.
And then at one point, I don't know why she has this, but sweet, is this your first love?
I do.
No, she's not. And she goes, well, I'm going to go show the doctor your films. Do you want mint or bubblegum fluoride?
He's like,
bubblegum.
I'll tell you exactly why. Because this girl is like, you seem like you're 22 or something. You are acting like you are in your first relationship as a 15-year-old. Yeah, you're right. And so she asks him, your first love, right? Because you're insane. And he clocks that. He clocks it as being... Is this because you're immature? And so he wants to be like, no, not my first love, honey. This dick been around the block. So he's like, no, not my first love. Yeah. And I think that's how he answers it. But then, of course, throughout the entire segment of this, or throughout their entire segments on this episode, we're seeing Mary break down on camera a lot. You know, like whether they're recording the entire FaceTime to watch her suddenly be like,
okay. Bitch has got a cry button. I think she's pinching her leg or something. That's unbelievable. She can cry at the drop of a fucking hat.
You think it's fake?
I don't know. Again, we haven't really seen enough of them yet. I think she's got a lot of trauma, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't. That cry, I think it comes really quickly. And also, she's very comfortable being on camera. So I'm just saying it out there. Every time I talk about these people, I feel like I'm so fucking cynical. But I think it's like, remember Julia, Brandon and Julia?
Yes.
Brandon and Julia. Julia was a perfect example of someone who was born to be on television.
Brandon!
And Julia could make an emotional moment out of anything. And she was born for it. Anyway. So
every time Mary cries, I'm like, girl, just go take a nap. She's like a fussy baby. You know, like a baby that just cries for no reason. And you're just like, go, let's put this baby to sleep. It's like, go take a nap, girl.
It's like all 23-year-old girls are just tired all the time.
Yes.
And
hungry.
They're in their pajamas or a hoodie. Yeah. All they need is a nap.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a good
just
point.
A nap. Yeah.
I think that's about it. Anything else more about this couple? I frankly am worried. There's a lot of red flags being thrown here.
The only thing that I want to say is that I think it was really interesting how fast he turns on. Yeah. How fast Brandon turns on his family, especially his younger siblings, when they're like, we miss you. We want to be around you. And he's like, let's be clear. I just found out about you guys. Okay. I haven't seen you. Like, I don't have any responsibility to you half-ass siblings. Like, the fact that we know that they're his half siblings just shows shows how fucking connected he is with them. And I'm just like, I love how like the mom and the sister had the same eyeliner, just one with like a good eyeliner and one with just like shadow from the 90s. And you're just like, girl, get you a liner. Can you talk to your daughter about that real quick?
Let your daughter do your makeup.
Absolutely. But and then that mom standing 10 tones down about how like, I'd be damned if I let my son blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, your son is still very hurt from things that you caused for him.
Exactly. And that's why it feels like he's using this relationship to weaponize and hurt his family. And it feels like he's saying, I'll do whatever the fuck I want because you've never been a mom to me. And how dare you come in here? And I kind of got that feeling. I feel like he's a little justified. And I feel like the show is trying to give the parents perspective. Like, I don't think this mom's really been there a lot. Mm-hmm. So you haven't earned that. We've all watched Love After Lockup long enough. And we know when a parent has been out on you that, you know, it's not your responsibility to do all the work.
Exactly. It's like Puppy and her five children that we never talk about. And right. Destiny and her five children that she like popped up and showed on TV one day.
or Jaden, of course, of the Braden, Jaden, Caden family. Who says you're choosing her over your own family? And you're like, well, you're kind of wise, 8-year-old, but still. Mm-hmm. And they're like, your relationship is toxic. And all I can think of, like, you know, what were you like? What were you like 20 years ago?
Yeah.
But so I feel like there's a little bit going on there. They're trying to show the nicest parts of his family, maybe. But who knows? I don't know. It is very Love After Lockup adjacent for me.
Absolutely. So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, shall we move on to... Holly, 44, Ogden, Utah. Wayne, 40, Johannesburg.
Do you believe she's 44?
No. Yeah. There's been work done, mm-hmm. but it's hasn't.
Fallen.
Yeah, it's fallen, or it hasn't fully settled from when she had it refigured. Yeah, one part of the lip kind of goes down further than others.
Yeah. It's, you know, she has access to syringes. She's never had a facelift, and she doesn't.
You're right with syringes. It's fillers.
Yeah, it was all fillers. So what's happening is she's a very slender woman, very skinny yeah. woman. You know, not a lot of. So only saying that not a lot of body fat and facial fat as you age. And so what she's done is to give those cheeks a plump. And then, yeah, like all her lips are bruised. You literally see the bruises that yeah. she had just injected. I mean, having said this, I'm someone who has overplucked my eyebrows. I've never been an eyebrow threader or waxer in my life. I can only imagine what I would have done to myself if I had the means and the expertise to think mm-hmm. I could. So yeah. a lot of these, so a whole other thing is a lot of girls get esthetician licenses and can do that work, and they feel like they also are a walking billboard for themselves.
Yes. I'm not just
she's done it to herself.
Yes. I'm not just a member. I'm not just a president. I'm also a client, like Hair Club for Men.
Yeah. I think she's done it. She did it to herself. And she can. So that's
you
why
do
she
went.
She
to yourself, you do. Yeah.
My mind is fucking blown right now. I need to just sit with this so you guys talk because
I agree with you, Chris.
I don't think she has the money to be spending a lot of money on fillers and going to some places. She also strikes me as the girl that wouldn't have a lot of female friends in her life.
She mentions I hate doing women's hair because they're never happy with anything. This woman tried to tell me blah blah blah, and I said, oh yeah, I don't think you probably have a lot of friends. Also, she works in a barber shop and works and just talks men's ear off on a daily basis. She also leads with the idea that she has a very severe case of ADHD, which this seems like that we're going to continue to talk about. And I'm not downplaying ADHD as a handicap for anybody. It is real. I was diagnosed with it as a child. But it does seem like we're leading with it a lot. Both seasons. For her, it does seem like an excuse. I can talk about whatever I want to. And as much as I want to. So I'm sure she talks over all these poor clients.
Oh yeah.
We need to talk about the Rapunzel in the room, though.
Yeah.
This hair is down to her knees.
No thanks.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I know in some cultures you don't cut your hair. You culturally keep it really long, like indigenous people in the U.S. used to. You did not cut your hair until you it was becoming a problem. She said she lets it get down to her knees. The thing about it is a lot of people who have really long hair put it in braids and keep it up.
Yes.
So it's not, let's say, dragging the floor,
yes.
collecting dust bunnies, mm-hmm. or dragging on your bed. And I thought, can you imagine the level of hair that's on her bathroom floor, or what gets in the ends of that hair? Because she lets it go a lot. She
doesn't comb it.
Mm-hmm.
We saw her combing just the ends so mm-hmm. that she can put it up into a a little, I forget what, sponge roller or whatever. That's not a sponge roller, but whatever that newfangled, you know, roller thing is. And she sets it in leopard rollers every night, it seems.
I have a feeling that people are going to come for her about this. It's the fact that the ends look not great. And like, if she put it up in braids all the time, we wouldn't have to keep talking about it. I also think this hair is part of her personality. And it's part of her pick-me-ness. And yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I'm just... It's to me, it's not even hair. It is an extension of her personality. And it's like, yeah, I've got long hair. I went to college with a girl like this. It was all she could talk about was her long hair. And it was 75% of her personality.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, that's what this chick is.
Yeah. She's like, I really relate to princesses.
Shut up. Like when I cried, he was blind and then I made him well. Okay.
Yeah, honey, she thinks she's Samson. She won't cut her hair, honey. It's all her strength, you know? Like, but she, I told Wah, I don't know if I said it on the podcast or if I just saw it when I said it, that she gave me Drusilla from Buffy the Vampire Slayer vibes.
Yes.
Yes, you
Drusilla.
Did.
She has a permanently scratchy voice, honey. Like, was drinking whiskey and doing whatever the night before. And the final thing I'll say about her hair is this. It's like, she says it looks unkept. And it's true. She knows it's true. And she is a hair specialist. She works, like, in the beauty thing. So you can do whatever you want. But, like, in my entire life, I would never go to her for anything because I'd be like, oh, I can see how you think this world should look. And I say no.
Yeah.
I say no. That hair is dirty and matted looking. It's just, no thanks, you know?
It's like an old dog. After a while, it just chunks will fall out. Yeah.
My God.
Agreed. Can we talk about Wayne?
Yeah,
we can.
He's a plumber. He's been on his own since 17. Haven't had a privileged life. That's not South African. I'm sorry. Privileged life. I can never do a good South African.
It's hard to
close.
Do South African.
South African. Mm-hmm. Y'all, here's the thing that we need to know. How they met was a Jehovah's Witness dating website a year ago. And as she says, we don't celebrate holidays. Sorry, we don't celebrate holidays or like Christmas or anything pagan or Valentine's Day, which she says. Mm-hmm. And I had to pause and rewind it several times to make sure I heard her right.
Did you rewind several times or several times? Sorry.
Times. I guess it's true. She's right. Valentine's Day is the time around when St. Valentine was martyred.
Yeah.
So it's the time around
Jehovah's Witness don't have time to celebrate it.
Yeah, nobody has celebrated Valentine's Day, so
I just went
par with everyone.
And just threw my paper, and a flight attendant brought me another vodka.
That's how much she doesn't care about it. She knows that it's Valentine's.
Valentine's, it's not for her.
Yeah, for her.
So he says after 6 months, she went to South Africa, and the chemistry was immediate. He asked her to marry him in 3 days. First, she ran away from him, which I don't know if is a good sign. But then he said, I chased her down. Mm-hmm. And then she relented like a hunted animal.
And there's video. There's like recording of her running away from him. So it's great. We saw.
What do y'all think about him? In a weird way, I think he looks... His white hair is something for me. I think he's attractive. He also feels dangerous to me and could choke me in a good or maybe bad way. There's something about him that feels dangerous. I don't know what it is.
His fangs. That's what you're saying. Those fangs inside his mouth. That's what it is. He's hot, but then he opens his mouth, which he tries not to do when he speaks. And you see that he's like got a situation like this.
As fangs,
so.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's my Twilight fetish. So she's talking to her coworker, who looks just like Different Strokes Dana Plato. Like near the end. That's Kimberly Waugh. And I only know that because I watched a lot of behind the series, Different Strokes, like Troubled Child Stars. Mm-hmm. There was a lot on Different Strokes because like Todd Bridges had a lot of problems. I'm sure Mr. Drummond had a lot of problems. We just didn't really hear about it. Dana Plato. Gary Coleman, of course. And I'm sure the little redheaded kid who was brought in had scabies, you know, or something like that.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm saying that. I'm not starting a rumor, y'all. Sam. Was that his name? Little redheaded one who was brought in when ratings were lagging.
I don't remember.
Who's like, Arnold? I just remember the episode with the bike guy very vividly. It was the one where the bike guy was basically a child molester, and it was so scary to me. Yes.
The
bicycle repair man.
I thought you were talking about something hot.
No. It was just really disturbing. And my mom's like, yeah, this happens to kids. Yeah, don't go with anyone, little Jaybird.
Don't take no candy.
Jaybird, don't go with anybody unless you say our phrase, which is who loves you more? Your mother loves you the most. No, she wouldn't be that, but
We had a phrase?
I had a phrase.
We had a phrase.
Yeah, yes. What was your phrase?
Mine was, my mother's phrase actually was, sorry, your mother had a closing, because my mother sold real estate. And I was picked up almost always by my mom's secretary or one of her friends. It makes me feel very, very latchkey, because I would sit there for an hour waiting for my mom, and teachers would come out and they're like, hey, when's your mom coming? I'm like, she's waiting. I'm sure she's working.
Aww.
Just sitting there reading my book about, I don't know, Anne Frank, or wondering why World War I happened.
World War I. That's the most unpopular of the wars. World War II.
It is. The Great War. It's a shame. Unpopular. The Great War has withered in popularity. The origins of the Great War are very interesting. I'm going to stop talking because no one gives a fuck about this.
Okay. No, I do like it. I liked it. I like your password or whatever, your secret. Yeah, that would
just. Your mother has a closing. Yeah. And there was one time where I was picked up by someone, and it was a man, and I'd never met him before. And he kind of said it wrong, and my brother and I was like, we don't know if we should go with you.
But it was fine?
It was fine. I went anyway. I would have just been like, you could have, there was a hamburger in the seat. I would have been fine.
Yeah, you want to get picked up from school, you go with anybody. But wait, so these sayings were only said when your parents when someone else picked you up from school, or was it just anytime anyone picked you up anywhere?
When someone picked me up from school.
Chris, what was yours?
Macaroni and cheese.
Oh, that's a good one.
My favorite thing in the whole world. I figured if someone knows my favorite thing in the entire world, which it could have also just been Kraft macaroni and cheese, Blue Box. I'll go home with you. And by the way, I still will.
What if a stranger actually had a bowl of Kraft macaroni and cheese that didn't say it? It wouldn't matter if they were sharpening a knife. You would have gotten in the car.
I'd be very I don't think you need a knife to eat macaroni and cheese, but what if you do? You know, they do things different in different cultures.
Did you not have a safe phrase, or did your parents always pick you up?
I took the bus home from work.
I took the bus too, but it took a long time because I lived in a very rural area.
Oh no, my parents were like, "You get on that bus like every other, lower middle class person." So I got on the school bus, and the school bus luckily dropped me off on the corner of my street. So there was a major street, and then it dropped me off at the perpendicular corner. And then I would just walk home, and either my older sister would be there Or I would walk to the babysitter's house, and the babysitter's house wasn't far from my own home. It was still in my neighborhood. My parents managed to find somebody. So, yeah. And then when I was in high school, my dad got me because I said, I'm no longer taking the bus. You will pick me up. I will wait at school until 7 p.m. until you get me.
It must have been nice to have been actually taken care of by your family. Sorry, Chris.
We have all different lives. No siblings. He's like, wouldn't know them. Like,
must have been nice to have to be in a priority.
I mean, I don't feel like one, you know, as a child of like boomers, but
yeah,
it is what it
you
is.
You never will of a child of boomers. Fuck. Yeah.
That's funny.
One last little bit about Rapunzel and Ronald 2.0. Actually, I should never say that because I can't imagine this guy would ever be Ronald. Ronald is one of those people in the history of 90 Day Fiancé who I'm generally afraid of. I think he's a dangerous, scary person. I think he would leverage anything against Tiffany to get back at her. He makes my blood turn to ice. I find Ronald just to be horrific. And it really pisses me because when I first met him, I thought he was a little hot, but then I saw that huge melon that sits atop his torso and it started going less than for me.
No, I think that Wayne wants to be, you know, a rugged guy, you know, like there's some things are going to set up that he can protect her, but he seems like he, you know, loves being, you know, kind of like Soup's mask and maybe a little alpha.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Okay, so obviously the power grid goes off and then, like, you know, the security systems go down and then anyone can just rob anyone at that time, honey. It's like a free-for-all, which kind of
it's
is...
the purge, yeah.
Yeah, like the purge. But the purge, straight up, I feel like, was based on that. We all read a short story, like, in eighth grade called The Lottery, right? Which is
Shirley Jackson.
Yes, thank you! So, like, it's like that, where it's like we all get that, like, you know, sometimes
Wall
we all need to get it out. I know. The lottery was like, yeah, while the lottery is like, someone's got to die. Someone's got to die all the time. Well, and like, who's it going to be?
You're giving away the ending, but it was a really great story because you drew the lottery and everyone was very excited about who this person was. And she was very excited. And then at the end, someone picks up a stone and they see the person throw it at them. And everyone starts throwing it at this girl. I'm not sure why someone has to die. I can't remember in the part of it, but it made a big impact on me. And of course, Little Jay Bird read Everything Possible by Shirley Jackson after that.
Yes, The Lottery is a short story by Shirley Jackson, first published in The New Yorker in 1948. The story describes a small American community which observes an annual tradition known as The Lottery, in which a member of the community is selected by chance and stoned to death to ensure a good harvest and purge the town of bad omens.
There you go.
Okay, I'm not living in a small rural town.
No.
We should do that with Danielle. Danielle and Johan.
Honey, just like stone her?
I mean, yeah. Did you see her in that little elves outfit?
Y'all, everyone's been sending it to me because I really find her one of the most repellent cast members that we've had in quite a while. I call her the miserable bitch. But she was out on the beach walking this dog, and like the dog was like just trying to break away, and like almost all the comments were like, even the dog's trying to run away.
Jesus.
Yeah, you know, they're on the season. I'm like, can't believe they're on. Like, I thought that he was in America for some reason. I don't understand.
No, she's gonna be on there and just like completely undercut him at every chance. He's gonna get upset. She'll act like the victim, which is what she's wanted all along. And because all she really wants is that let's be honest, that like walking stick between his legs. That she can brag to other women that she's got.
She's the new Angela, except for less screamy.
She is. And I think she is the new Angela, but there's also, she's smarter than Angela. And I think that's the one thing that I can't even trust. Because she knows how to get her fame and not how to act like Angela only knows how to act like a clown.
Mm-hmm. You goddamn son of a bitch.
Exactly. That's her stick. Danielle's is not that. Danielle's is doing all this empowerment shit. And, mm-hmm. you know, probably a lot of it will make a lot of, can help some people, but she's a terrible person. Y'all, speaking of someone who's not terrible, or maybe, I don't even know. We don't know these two people. All I can say is, Julio is a DJ and he likes to travel. And to me, all this, I worry for Kirsten because this guy just seems like an F boy. I'll be honest. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's settled down. But he's only 27. Julio, 27 from Brentwood, New York. And Kirsten, 24 from the Netherlands. What do y'all think about this couple?
Go ahead, Wah.
I am in support of Julio and Kirsten's love.
Julio!
I think they're going to make it. And the fact that they've lived together for 2 months and have already seen what it's like.
Good point.
Gives me that hope for them.
Good point.
I mean, we haven't really met her. I mean, she's given us like through filters a fake face and then like a real face. So like, I want to see her real personality. Go.
Did you notice that she had like midway through the talking heads, she had another procedure? Like halfway through, she got her lips done. Like, no. Yeah, it was like halfway through. Yeah, or something like that.
I can't tell what she looks like because so much of what we're seeing is in a filter, you know? Like
she's a two-face. It's really hard to know, or at least a four-face. Like, yeah. She's a Dutch Barbie for sure.
In a filter. In a filter for sure. And outside of the filter, a little average, more average.
Less Barbie, more Skipper, you know?
Props.
Netherlands look gorgeous. They're riding bikes everywhere. Yeah. You know, like he came from the DR, you know, when his mom.
He's hot.
He's gorgeous. He's and by hot. The way, his mom is hot as hell too. So his mom is just getting like so many like different men's just being like, please come to America and I will just like provide for you. Just like not without my son, honey.
I love that. Which I guess you shouldn't get an award for saying I'm going to leave my son in the DR, but
so many people do.
That's true.
So she should,
Larissa.
That's true.
Oh yeah.
So many leave their kids.
Yeah. So she's like no, and they have a beautiful relationship. That's why I don't think he's a fuckboy, because I feel like he loves women because he was raised. I mean, I want this for him.
I hear what you're saying. Okay. For me, it is the coat of many colors of a DJ that he's wearing. When he talks about loving travel, he's been to 28 countries. I don't love living in this country, so I'll go find somewhere else. It's that life of a nomad that kind of gives me a little bit of, but I think you're right. They did live together 2 months. So I have better, I don't dislike him in any way. I just hear, I think it's because I hear the word DJ and travel. Good vibes. And immediately I go, F boy.
You're not wrong. And plus, like, he literally was like, you know, I just saw her on Instagram and knew I could totally tell that, like, we had so much in common because I have her, of her feed, you know, she just, like, loves looking hot and traveling, and she loves eating food and looking hot, which is, like, such the most important things in my life to, you know, like, I get
We're
that.
We're vibing. We really vibe. It's like Love Island, but on a higher level.
Yes. Yeah. Also, of course, also it is troublesome that he is only too happy for her to mispronounce his name because it quote unquote sounds more European. And even though she's like, just so you all know, I know what I'm saying sounds crazy and I'm doing it because he wants it. Even though wink, it's, I wish, you know, it's weird.
It's kink. Yeah. It feels a little kink, which is fine, but your kink shouldn't be the basis of your entire relationship. What it also gives me pause is he hasn't told anyone in his family, and they've been seeing each other for what? 2 years?
That's true.
They're gonna talk shit. That's why. It's because they're gonna be like, yeah,
I get you.
Blanquita,
the friends are gonna talk shit
to the Netherlands to this like girl, and you know, you're right. He started off as a fuckboy, but then he got quarantined with her and was forced to just let it all go. They were pooping in front of each other, and then no more of that nonsense could occur.
Watching Christmas specials.
Yes.
And ordering in food. Mm-hmm. By the way, I love that the mother knows all of this. And he's like, yeah, I've got this friend coming. It's a girl. And she's like, oh, yes. And at one point, she's like, you will enjoy and I will suffer. that's brutal.
I know. And he's like, but don't you want me to be happy? And she's like, not if it
benches on my happiness at all.
Nearby me. It's like, you know what I did? Never leave your side and make you come with me. And now what you want to do is like, bye, bitch. Are you kidding me? I brought you here. And you know,
I think she would get used to it. I think she's going to have to know this Dutch woman for a while. And I'm glad that she's coming over here. That was a smart move. I think I hope, Wa, that you're right. I just this guy gives me Patrick and Miriam vibes.
Oh, Thais.
Yeah. Thais. No, I was talking about Patrick and Miriam. Patrick was like a DJ. Patrick from season one, before the 90 days, from Miriam, that he went to go meet the girl in France.
Black Patrick, yes.
Yes, DJ Patrick.
Yes.
And it's, but remember Miriam was just there to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah. That was rough. DJs in general, it's kind of like you, me, and my ex when DeAndre was a club promoter. When we said, y'all, just don't fuck a club promoter. You can fuck a club promoter. Don't date them.
Yeah.
So I wish them all the best. Like Sean Robinson says, I think I get a little nervous when things seem easy because it always feels a little Matt Sharpie to give us something that doesn't seem like there's a big, there's a lot to overcome.
Yeah, there's not high stakes.
Yeah, and so sometimes things fall apart easier.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling, sadly, I think Tammy Brown out of drag and Mary, Queen of the Philippines, they might have something.
Wow.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, it is Tammy Brown out of drag. You're absolutely right. Every time you say it, I keep just seeing Tammy Brown with like a really pencil thin like brow.
We got a message from her after we posted it on our socials, and she just went, kiss. And I said, that's a very Tammy Brown DM.
Absolutely.
I'm a fan.
The one thing I want to say is that, okay, we all watch Love is Blind, yes?
Yes.
Okay. You know the one blonde girl who was with Paul?
Micah.
Micah's yes. best friend in the green satin for her birthday.
Oh, yes.
Doesn't Kirsten kind of look like her?
A little thinner and less years on her.
Yeah, a little of the eyebrows, but a lot of the fake hair, the fake like blonde, not as bleached, but like she was giving that vibe to me.
Just Michelle Michelle from Bloody Day Fiance and I talked about her, and she said, I cannot be convinced that that woman is not Micah's birth mother.
Oh my God.
And I've been laughing about it ever since. She's like, but Micah came out fully formed.
Oh my God. You know what I wanted to say based on your conversation with Blighty Day in your last episode?
Yeah.
I too noticed the twin blind cats.
Yes.
I too noticed them. And when you said that, I was like, oh my God.
It was very disturbing. They've got these cutaway, this like B-roll filler this season. And it's like, how can we show the most objectionable thing possible? Mm-hmm. Like last season, they just showed poop. I feel like we're in a new era of B90, especially B90, where it's like, let's show the most abject thing possible and cross-cut it with something nice. they're auteurs, I'm telling you.
Yeah, they had that woman making poop patty pies.
Yes.
In something with, I don't know if that was Muhammad. I mean, like Osama.
Oshama.
yeah.
Anything more else about these two? I think for me, this feels low stakes, and maybe it's just easy, which is fine. This is the first Dutch person y'all have since Jesse.
Jesse.
It is an illusion. If you think you will not throw your Louis Vuittons at me.
I think that you are absolutely right, which begs the sharpism of having a secret, you know?
Good point.
I bet you anything what's going to happen is, you know, whether they're going to set it up. Obviously, at the very end of this moment, so basically, you know, he has a sad conversation with his mom about, you know, that he's going to leave her for his own happiness, even though, you know, like she did everything possible for his. Ha ha ha. And,
yeah.
Obviously, the beer pong conversation of like, does she even play beer pong? Which is like, yeah, you know, she can easily play beer pong. You know, like that's neither here nor there.
I think the rules are easy to explain.
I know. Anyway, but yes,
she didn't have one of those conversations with her friends. Like, does he eat speculoos?
Can he even ride bike? You know, like,
does he know what a dike is?
Does he like the windmill?
Yeah. Is he going to understand wooden shoes?
He has a stroopwafel? Which, I mean, I've had many. I love
a good fucking stroopwafel.
Nothing better than a stroopwafel.
You will never get me to talk bad about a stroopwafel.
Honey, I'll have one right now. But yeah, basically he goes to the airport, whatever. So he's going to the airport to pick her up. But at this point, she hasn't even gotten on the plane because they took her passport before they could bring her on the plane. So I don't understand. Is he there 10 hours early or has she been delayed 10 hours?
This was very confusing. I agree.
You guys, she's in New York and he's at the airport in New York and she's stuck in customs.
Oh, I was confused
in
about
New
that.
York.
Oh, is that what it is, bitch?
How are we so dense about this, Chris?
I don't know.
Too.
So then they take her passport there and she's being treated like a criminal. And that's the last we get. So like what I'm trying to tell you is what if she's like, okay, I did have a secret. I 10 years ago served 5 years in prison for a huge drug bust. You know, like what if it was love after lockup, that kind of situation.
Or she's an exotic animal smuggler. Like she's got an iguana in her bag or something.
Oh God. Or wait.
Prostitute.
She's a prostitute. Well, she's an escort and she's been traveling around the world.
God. I love all of these. And I really hope it's one of them because I need a real, like, just striking left turn in this storyline.
Yeah, we all need it. A sharp turn.
A sharp turn in the storytelling. Last little bit here, y'all.
I've done. I think I'm done.
Kenny and Armando, there's really nothing. I'm just glad to see them back on my TV. I enjoy them. They're like a welcome hot toddy for me. They don't have problems.
We love you. We love you. I love you. I love you. And it's not that I don't love Kenny and Armando. I very
y'all
much
don't
do.
Like them. I think it's because I'm gay, so I have to like them. Otherwise,
they are boring.
They are boring. You're right.
They're not even, and I mean this, okay, They're not, they are so lovely and I would love to be friends with them. And I would be like, you guys are awesome. And you know, like I want you at my house and like, let's have dinners and like whatever, I'll go on vacations with you. But not everyone needs to be on TV for multiple seasons as a watchable pair of funny, dynamic commentary. But honey, they have Kenny doing commentary, like if he's a comic during the tell-alls, and I have to put 2 feet down and be like, he's not funny.
Yeah,
it does feel like we're in the mid 90s and someone who's openly gay is on television, so we're putting them in everything. It does. They are both extremely safe. I still think yes, it is gay rights to have people on, and it was gay rights to have Love in Paradise of them talking about their top and bottom situation, Carlos and and Valentine. But give me a messy thruple on a gay thruple like we just had on Below Deck. Give that to me and on 90 Day Fiancé, and give me a conversation like, why are we even together if we can't be happy in Sardinia? Like one just said.
Wait a minute. So wait, I want you to note this time is 1749 in. I have a question, and if it's inappropriate, please cut it out.
That's going to be fine for this show.
Who's the top? Who is the top? And Kenny, is Kenny the top?
I think, this is a really good question.
Activo?
We have Activo and Passivo. We have had disagreements about this. I think Kenny is the top, but he's a feminine top, like which is also called a blouse. But
new terminology.
But I don't think anal is the basis of their relationship. I think they do a lot of tight holding. and mutual jerk off. I think they reserve. I think Kenny likes to get pounded occasionally, but I think it's rare. I think Kenny is the feminine blouse top, and Armando is the pass around bottom.
Okay, great. Thank you for that.
Little freaky deaky when she needs to.
Okay,
blouse, honey. Thank you so much. I didn't know that.
I'm here to educate.
Thank you.
I'm going to do a Below Deck podcast in a few minutes with two straight guys from another Below Deck podcast where I'm going to be talking, Pat and Dylan, where I'm going to be talking about the dynamics of a gay thruple. So it is just a teachable moment for me.
Teach the children. Teach them.
Great.
I just got to say, I'm glad to see Hannah, who's 9 years old now, who's a fucking icon.
Icon. English. She's fluent now.
Oh, my God. I love her so much. Y'all, here's the thing. They're going to move to Mexico City. This is, I don't really mean to be mean about this, but we've already kind of been, I think this is filler. It's not that I have a problem seeing it. I do not think they will have a baby. Kenny is 60 and Armando has a child, and I think he wants a child with Kenny. But I don't know if they'll want to do it. I don't know if they'll want to do it on the show. I don't know. Maybe they will. I don't know. I think they're happy. I think Kenny and Armando see what they're doing as it's great because this is representation for gay dads. And so I think that's why they kind of have a noble reason for doing it. But like you said, it is a bit of like, I like them personally, but it doesn't provide the most compelling TV. I agree. Yeah.
It's for the culture. But not in the way that I normally mean. But like, yeah.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I also want to say that I was in Mexico City for 2.5 days, and I've never been in a place that has more traffic than Mexico City. Holy Jesus. And I live in Los Angeles. Holy Jesus Christ.
Jesus Cristo. Yes.
It was something. It's one day, I think I spent like 2.5 hours in an Uber, and we only went 5 miles. It was something. And I was like, should we ride the metro? And the woman at the hotel's like, no, people who look like you need to ride the metro in Mexico City. She's like, no, you don't. Anyway, but I don't even have a ton about Kenny and Armando. I'm glad I like them both. I'm glad that they're on and they're having a disagreement for the first time. I also want to point out that Kenny's rainbow thing is from the Nomaza Couture collection. Wah, your employer.
Oh,
yeah. Nomaza is our where we order. It's the House of Nomazas where we get all of our couture.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
You can wear it one time and then it falls apart. But yes. But you know what? That one time is worth it.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Chris? Did we even talk about Kenny and Armando?
We did. Because oh, I the don't... horses. Remember, you were like, you said you thought it was privileged that they were riding horses. I mean, I'm going to call it, that's a, that. Remember that part?
Yeah, I know. So I'm glad we did because I don't remember talking about them at all.
It feels a little Brokeback Mountain for me. at the very beginning, it does feel like two gays way out of a limb. Riding horses, like at any moment someone's gonna have like a freak out and the horse is gonna bolt and there's gonna be a lot of squealing.
Oh no.
I will say this is one thing I do like them too. I said this, and like I think that the only drama that they really truly have is whether Kenny's family feels like he just honey just up and abandoned them, you know.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
And because I just don't, I mean, because he kind of did.
Well, he is 60. And as I said before, they grown. And they do have their own kids. And he can still fly back and forth. But here's my thing about this. They made it seem like there was money issues and he couldn't go back. Kenny, like, owns rental property. He owns, like, shit. He can fly back every other fucking week if he wants to. Mm. I really think that was all manufactured.
Mm. He didn't put them fireworks on credit. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kenny, that wedding was fantastic.
That wedding was like, I guarantee you, that was a $40,000 wedding.
Yeah, and I guarantee you Kenny paid for it.
All of
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
that was a $40,000 wedding.
Yeah.
So you're saying that's, you're going to kill me. Is that meaning you're saying that it was cheap or expensive?
Expensive.
I think that was expensive. I think maybe was $40,000 not expensive? I'm a gay guy. I'm not going to get married.
Because there's no wedding dress. There's no wedding dress. They didn't have a wedding dress.
That's
they
true.
Didn't
it's have, just two tuxes.
Like, yeah. They didn't have like a full party train of like it's an expensive wedding. In Mexico, it's
in
an
Mexico.
Wedding. Yeah.
Okay. Just I'm
sorry. We're not all Persian from.
I know. I'm like that's a flower budget. I mean, I don't have to tell
exactly,
you.
Exactly. Exactly. We're all not used to Persian weddings for $300,000 each.
Chris, what is it? What is it? What's the number you're thinking of? What a wedding costs? $100,000.
Starting.
Okay. Okay. I just want to know. I don't know. I've never looked into weddings.
The food and the venue and the flowers and the rentals and the. Yeah.
I don't know.
And
okay, great.
And the marching band.
Yes.
And the all night dancing.
The all night, honey, and the alcohol.
That's true. I just want to say. I just want to say, Chris is coming from a different cultural perspective than both Juan and I.
I just want a number.
Los Angeles Persian weddings are infamously lavish and infamously long.
I personally am. It's
why
very,
do you think
it's
you're
very
Persian.
I think it's so similar. It's also because you know why the queen of queen of Iran was named Farah. Ha ha. No, oh, the Lebanese. I'm Lebanese. No, I'm
okay.
But there is a.
I'm just, so sorry.
I don't give one F. But there is this Instagram account called @LebaneseWeddings, which is obviously what it is, Lebanese weddings, and they are the most over the top, garish things in the whole world, and definitely more than $40,000. But let me just say this: the Kenny and Armando thing. We'll just see what happens. I think that like I just don't want a whole other season of will they, won't they with the baby. And so now it's like will they, won't they with the baby, and now Mexico City, and it's like, ugh.
Will they go to the Frida Kahlo Museum?
Yeah. Will they adopt the child from the orphanage? Remember, they went to an orphanage the last time we saw them.
Yeah, and then they were like, just kidding, we can't, which I'm sorry, you can't. I mean, no, but you know what's, I want, okay. You know, is Hannah modeling yet? Like, at least let me see some stage dad shit. Yeah, like at least I want to see some stage dad shit. Like, because at least if she's in pageants or modeling, there's the built-in stakes of will she or won't she get her little dream? Which,
exactly.
I mean,
Listen, I watched every part of Toddlers and Tiaras. Like, oh, I will watch it. I want you happy to. So, like, give me a little of that, like, and, you know, call it a season.
Agree.
She has her own Instagram, and I follow it. So Hannah's fabulous.
Hannah has her own Instagram? Fuck yeah. That. Oh, my God. Y'all.
At Lebanese weddings. I'm just kidding. Lebanese
part owner. Y'all, thank you. Chris and Wah, thank you so much for doing this premiere for me. I'm so excited to DM with you about this because I think the season's going to be a mess. Mm-hmm. The B90 season's already a mess. Thank you for filling in for Maddie, who's got a cat face put on, probably by now. Yeah.
you know what? We are always available. So,
thank you.
We're here.
All right, y'all. We will tell us where you can be found. Tell us where people out there can find you.
Ooh, thank you so much. Okay, so if you don't know, that's Wah. I'm Chris. And of course, we do DocuSweeties, which is our podcast review docuseries and 90 Day Fiancé and the Love After Lockup. Juggernauts are one of them, as well as obviously the Mermen. We'll get into that. So you can follow us. I know, right? You can follow us on all the social medias at DocuSweeties on Instagram after you're done with Lebanese Weddings and Hannah's, and then at DocuSweeties on TikTok, at DocuSweeties1 on Twitter. You can listen to our podcast, of course, Apple, Spotify, all of that. And then anything else, Wah?
Yeah, I mean, if you just want to jump right in, if you fell in love with us right now, you can just like support your girls at
Patreon.com. How could you not? Honestly.
At patreon.com/docusweeties, it's $10 a month because we are expensive. No, but with $10 a month, you get the visuals of whatever you're listening to, as well as you get a live every first Monday of the month, and you get specific content because Chris and I will like cut and just not give it to the free feed, but we'll give it to the Patreon. And our patrons love us. So, you know,
if you want to watch us poop or you also want smelly things of us, you can just let us know. And that might be an extra tier, but we'll work it out for you.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Mm-hmm. We love it.
We love you. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. It's always a good friend time when we're like hanging out. Can't wait to see it. We're going to be a podcast moment, which we'll announce a little bit later. But thank you, guys. And we'll see you later. And in the meantime, brush your hair. To y'all out there, if you've got hair that's 5 feet long, brush your hair.
Yeah. Also, brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth.
Don't shoot yourself in the face with your own filler.
That's true. That's a good piece of advice. Yeah. And with that, we say bye-bye.